Hey guys, it's the Evan and Caitlin podcast, episode number 42, which has the answers to life, the universe, and everything. Yeah. So that's from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy from Douglas Adams. It's a reference. Oh. Well, some people may not. Yeah, some people may not, you know.
I thought it was very clever.
Thank you.
Didn't realize we're on episode 42. That means 42. We're almost to a year's worth of episodes.
Yeah, we started January 1st, and I think that we have only skipped 1 week of the past year. So we're getting really close to one year. Crazy. We're almost, well, I don't know. This isn't exciting at all. I just noticed that we're almost 1,000 posts on Instagram.
I noticed that too. I was like, over 998 posts. That's a lot of posts.
In two posts, we need to make sure that that one is a good one.
I guess
for no reason in particular.
Yeah, for a reason. No one else will notice.
So today we're going to be talking about YouTube, Netflix, quality and quantity, and comparing like what different strategies are.
Like quality versus quantity of videos specifically.
Yeah. And also how, I'll just say the crazy statistic up front. YouTube is now more popular than Netflix between 13 and 24 year olds.
Really?
Really.
That's interesting.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. More people in that age range, they turn to YouTube as opposed to Netflix. And that's their favorite, and that's where they watch more content. So we're going to be talking about that later.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, I'll save my thoughts.
First things, life stuff. It is approaching Halloween, and we have a yearly tradition. For the past 9 years, with 1 year break, we have gone to the same haunted house because it is awesome.
Yeah. It's this is like the one Halloween tradition that like no matter, well, except from that 1 year. Last year we had to skip it because October was an insane month for us. And it is again this year, but we weren't gonna let it stop us from going to this haunted house. Should we talk about what it's like?
Yeah, so it's called Scare for Cure. It's in Austin, and it's not really a haunted house. It's an interactive experience where basically you are the protagonist in a horror movie, and you get to interact with the environment, and there's actors, and you go in with a group of, like, six max people.
Yeah, so it's not like a lot of traditional haunted houses are, like, ones that... amusement parks and stuff. You're just in a line.
It's like a train.
So you can see up ahead, like, oh, there's a scare up there because I heard someone scream or I saw that person get jumped at.
Yeah.
But this is just you and your small group.
It's immersive.
It's very immersive.
You get immersed in blood.
Yeah, you do. You do actually. You have to sign a waiver. And there's, like a video up front that you have to watch every year that's like, if you're someone who reacts violently when startled, like,
this is not for you.
You know, because it's all like volunteer based. And they put it together every year. It's a different theme every year. And it's all volunteer actors. And it's just, it's the most elaborate haunted house. Again, it's not really haunted house. It's like a haunted experience.
That sells it short.
Yeah. It's the most elaborate thing that I've been to. And it's so crazy.
And it's great too, because it's volunteers that are running it, and it's nonprofit, and all of the proceeds go to raise money for breast cancer.
Yep.
And it's like, that's awesome. And it's everything about it is good.
Yeah. It's so cool. And like by the end of it, you're such a mess. Like we are covered in blood. We've crawled through dirt. Like,
and like you're crawling through these tunnels, and then you get to a dead end and you can't go any further.
And then the whole tunnel starts moving.
No, but then they close both ends of the tunnel.
Oh, and you're trapped.
So you're trapped. And then the whole tunnel swings to another area of like the adventure. And
it's insane. Or we were in like an elevator shaft the elevator was supposed to go down a certain amount and then it crashed and it went all the way down.
Yeah, but it's like it's different every year.
It's different every themes. Year, yeah.
There was a clown one, there's a fantasy one, there's a zombie one, there's a summer camp one.
This one was a fairy tale one.
This one was like blood and stones, is kind of like a temple based adventure.
Yeah. It was really cool.
It's really cool. And Halloween is Caitlin's favorite time of the year, and if we didn't make time for this, we probably wouldn't do anything Halloween related except for like giving out candy on Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, we used to go to like Halloween parties and stuff, but we don't really do that anymore. And before,
everyone has grown up and moved in different areas, and everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah, everyone's separate. So our group that we used to do parties with, that doesn't really happen anymore. And so this is an important tradition.
We need to do something to mark Halloween. We need to get covered in blood and run around for 2 hours. And that's the crazy thing too. This haunted house experience lasts for 2 hours and it does not feel like that.
No, it goes by so fast. There's also like, there's There's a whole story-based thing, but then there's another thing called the Boneyard, which is a maze. And it's the scariest part, honestly. Because for the main story, you have, like, guides and stuff, and you do get scared. There's definitely, like, jump scares and super creepy stuff. But, like, with the Boneyard, you can only go in two people at a time. And it's just, you have no idea what's going to be around the corner.
You're just lost in a maze. And there's people with chainsaws and scary masks and things, like, where you don't know if they're people or not. And they get you know? And they chase you. They, like, seriously chase you around the maze. And I have a really good sense of direction. And since we've been there so many times, the exit has always been in the same place. And I was able to keep track of it. Also, I'm tall. So I can, like, see over a lot of fences. So I was trying to get into this one direction, but the exit wasn't in that direction. And I kept on trying to go there, and I kept on getting lost. And I'm like, what the heck? I know it's over here. But it wasn't. It was in a completely different direction. And Caitlin just ditched me with our other friends.
Ditch you. Okay.
She ditched me. Okay. She ran off, and then she escaped. And I was still in there trying to get out all by myself with these scary people.
I mean, okay, we were so lost that our other friends who had, you know, they had to, like, wait till they could come in, caught up with us.
Yeah.
And then we got separated because we were getting chased by a chainsaw. And the last thing I heard is Evan saying, "Hey, guys, where'd you go?" I'm sorry we left you. It was an accident. We were running for our lives.
Yeah. But we want to do one more thing to mark Halloween. So I think maybe next podcast we might do some spoopy stories. You might tell some scary stories around a campfire or something.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. If it's cold enough, we were going to do it for this one, but it's like,
it's really hot
in the high 80s. It's too hot to be around a campfire, so maybe for the next podcast.
Yeah. Maybe for the next one. Other updates, the main channel, how many videos ago was it? I guess 2 videos ago we launched the cat kiss, and that was number 1 of our past 10 videos.
Very exciting. And I think we touched on that briefly in the last podcast, so we're so excited it was doing well.
And then we launched another video,
The guest room,
and that was number 1, then number 2. But, like, did we already talk about how that makes us feel, like we know what we're doing?
A little bit. It makes us, it's hard when...
I think every YouTuber doubts, like, have I lost it? Like, do I not even know what my audience wants anymore? Do I not know how to make videos? Am I moving in the wrong direction?
Well, and it's even people that, like, you look at them from the outside, and you're like, they have it together. They know the message of their channel.
No, we've talked to them. They don't.
They don't. And neither do we.
I think we had a whole podcast of, like, we don't know what we're doing. But yeah. I mean, like, I think that it's interesting that just doesn't seem to go away. Mm-hmm. And coming up with ways to deal with that. Not that we've really come up with ways to deal with it, but, like,
it's just, like, a constant thing that literally everyone you watch is probably figuring out.
It makes us wonder, how many times do we have to go through this? How many times does our content have to, like, drop in viewership and then pick back up again?
For, like, us to understand that it's a cycle and it's not, like, the channel dying. Well, I never thought the channel was, like, dying, but it was like, dying, oh man, like, we've had a couple duds in a row.
But it did make me think, like, are we moving in the right direction? Do we need to reevaluate things? I thought we knew what we were doing, and I thought we were moving in a good direction, but now the statistics aren't showing that. And
you know
everything.
What I noticed?
What's that?
We had a period of lower views. And it was broken by the cactus, which doesn't have any resin in it. But we had a period of lower views when we hadn't done any resin projects in a while. And I was like, oh God, does that mean we have to do resin every single time? I mean, like, I love resin.
And seriously become the resin channel?
Yeah, but I don't want to become the resin channel.
Yeah.
Although our next video is resin.
I mean, you know, we're trying to stick to our guns of doing what we're most excited about. And, mm-hmm. and I think that we are doing a good job of that. But, mm-hmm. you know, of course... I don't know. I don't really know where I was going with that, but I think it's just like, I'm just really excited to have, like, 2 videos in a row that are moving in a good direction, that are doing well. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of, like, breathing a sense of relief still. Like,
well, I think that's especially important right now because I know we've mentioned it a couple of times, but October is extra, extra crazy. And so we've been working even more than we normally do. We already, like, work probably an unhealthy amount, but it's been even more stressful. So at least having the videos we're putting out perform well does help balance it a little bit.
If we were going through all of this and our videos were like bombing, I'd be like, what are we doing?
I know, why are we working so hard? Yeah. So at least there's that.
But I mean, like, we have tried to make plans and, you know, like we've mentioned before, you know, we plan our videos months in advance, so we can't really make rapid agile adjustments. But in January, we're going to try to take 2 buffer weeks in January and try to like catch up on life things and like get on top of things a little bit. So, you know, we are
fingers crossed for us.
Fingers crossed. Unless something comes up that's crazy, but you know. Who knows? We're trying.
We're trying.
Also, on the gaming channel, fun, interesting update. We launched our 5th channel over there, like related to gaming, the Evan and Caitlin Gaming Uncut channel, and it just got monetized.
Very exciting.
We have made $0 so far because it just happened, but
still very exciting.
Still very exciting. You know, I don't know. I'm glad that people are enjoying it and watching those videos and everything. Yeah. And it feels like all of the pain I went through to upload all of those old videos was worth it.
So many hours and hours.
It was like days of work.
I know, but I meant like hours and hours of content.
Yeah.
But probably like days worth of content if you added up all the hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was definitely like, because each one was like 2 to 3 hours.
But like we're getting some great feedback from you guys. We've gotten a few comments of people who have said like when they're working or modeling, I've seen a tweet from someone, I noticed it. I saw you. They love putting that on in the background while they work. They've That's gone awesome. Through the entire thing once, and they're already on their second watch of the whole season of the game, Gaming Uncut. But it's interesting because Minecraft is a story.
It is, you know, a story,
and it's a unique story for every single person that plays it. So it's so interesting how like that game just by its nature creates something interesting.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's just an exciting thing I wanted to share with you guys and celebrate with you.
Yay!
Okay, so the YouTube versus Netflix, YouTube being more popular. Yes. What are your thoughts? Because that was a statistic that really surprised me, that YouTube is doing better than Netflix, which is like this thing that like, you know, so much money, so much professionalism, so much time goes into, and yet people are turning to YouTube instead of Netflix. And I think that kind of ties into a similar topic of the quality versus quantity.
So let's do one at a time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. So, interestingly, if I was looking at like 13 to 16 year olds or so,
yeah,
that makes sense. I feel like they do watch a lot more YouTube than Netflix, but I wouldn't have guessed that the older half of that age bracket also does more YouTube than Netflix.
Yeah.
And it does make sense that like beyond that, like people older than that watch more Netflix.
Yeah. But like YouTube is catching up in that age range too. It's just like this study that was done on this age range. I'm not sure what it is for older people, but it's just interesting that the YouTube is passing up Netflix for the first, like 2019 is the first year.
That's crazy.
Where the viewership was larger.
Ah, that's so crazy. Yeah, and it's also interesting because so we were listening to it was like a Joe Rogan podcast where he interviewed Jim Gaffigan, and they were talking about like getting Netflix specials and this and that and working with Netflix, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, that's you give up so much control to put your stuff out there, and you have a platform, but it's so crazy because if YouTube is becoming the main like source of entertainment for such a huge age range, I'm sure that's going to keep on growing. And it's like, you can just, you know, go around all that hassle.
Self-publish and then you control it. You are in full control of your own work that you put time into.
Yeah.
Which is just insane to me.
Yeah. And like, it's also just the budget difference is amazing. You think of like a scripted Netflix show.
Yeah.
There's so much time and money, and there's more and more Netflix originals coming out every single year.
Okay.
And they're good.
Get this. The ones I've seen. Get this. This is going to blow your mind. This is the statistic that I've saved for later. Stranger Things.
Yes.
Amazing show.
Yes.
Huge hype. Huge budget. Those actors are like really famous now. How many views do you think it got on its opening weekend?
How many views in total?
Unique views, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, 23 million.
So that's...
That seems, wow, $23 million. That's a lot. Guess how much Shane Dawson's first video in his Jeffree Star series is at?
I don't know.
$22 million.
That's insane.
And it's going to grow. Yeah, and the videos get to like $19 million or so in like that first few days of their launch. But it's insane to me that a single person and his editor, two people.
Yeah, small team.
A budget of like nothing.
Yeah.
Can create a piece of content that gets, and you know, the cultural impact, who knows about like whatever statistics, I'm just kind of going based on views and everything. And of course, you know, Stranger Things might have a longer lifetime than Shane Dawson's series. I'm not sure what it is like.
But another thing to think about is when on launch day of Stranger Things, it launches with an entire season, so it can rack up more views.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are binging, whereas Shane releases 1 week at a time. But if you added up the first 24 hours of each of his videos,
it
would be significantly more.
And I'm not sure if like one view counts through all of it. I'm not sure the statistics of like how that number was counted, but basically it's like kind of comparable.
That's insane.
Which is insane to me that content being created on YouTube is competing with Netflix so one-to-one.
Yeah.
And because like, okay, yeah, choosing Shane Dawson's series, which is like one of the biggest things on YouTube right now, may not be fair in a way, but Stranger Things is like one of the best things that Netflix has.
Yeah.
That's its like...
It's still like cream of the crop.
Ace up the hole, you know,
both.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But it also kind of goes to show you that like Netflix can make so much money because it has that legitness, that like, you know, corporate polish of like, you know, you can put your ad money behind us. We're Netflix and we make content that
Netflix
like,
doesn't have ads.
Netflix doesn't have ads. Oh,
no.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just subscriptions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That blows my mind.
Yeah. Like, how are they making money?
I don't know.
I don't think they have ads. It's just subscriptions.
That's crazy to me. I guess people just like get a subscription and like
hang on to it.
You know, I mean, like, you know, we don't pay for our Netflix subscription. We just tag on with your parents.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure like so many people relate to. Everyone just like shares their Netflix login. You know, it's like, yeah, you're like, oh, you just need Netflix and you just subscribe and you just kind of keep it as like a habit. But like Netflix needs to stay relevant. Otherwise people are going to start because unsubscribing. And we just started watching something on Netflix because we're like, we have it. This one looks kind of interesting. Let's throw that on just because we didn't have any of our YouTube shows that we watch regularly.
But we watch more YouTube than Netflix.
Yeah.
For sure.
When we think of a show to watch, we think, okay, are any of our favorites? Any of them released something on YouTube? Nope. Okay. Let's
see what's on Netflix.
See what's on Netflix. Maybe. And we've only done that just recently because we've just started running out of YouTube shows.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. And I guess that kind of ties into the discussion of quality versus quantity. And there's so much that we have to say about this. Caitlin and I talk about quality versus quantity a whole bunch in so many different contexts. Within our content, a lot, we think about it. Within other types of channels, some channels put out a lot of content, but because they put it out so rapidly, they can't take on as big of a project. Whereas, you know, when you look at a channel like Shane Dawson, you know, he puts a lot of time into like a single video and there's a long wait period between his like series. And then even beyond that quality versus quantity discussion, there's also YouTube versus Netflix, you know, and like,
so for when you're saying YouTube versus Netflix is YouTube quantity, like how are you making that comparison?
YouTube is kind of quantity and Netflix is more quality in air quotes, because
like, looking at like
YouTube kind of almost as a platform, YouTube just has so much content and that's kind of how it's competing against Netflix, because no matter like who you are, you can find your niche on Netflix, on YouTube, and like find a community almost in a way.
But I think, and that's not to say that YouTube doesn't have quality, it's just I would say like quantity is far exceeds like the quantity on Netflix, and from that quantity you're gonna find some quality.
And it also depends on how you define quality, you know. I mean, a lot of things on Netflix, the majority of things on Netflix are shot on professional cameras. They have dollies and rigs and jigs, and they have like multiple camera people and audio equipment everywhere, and
like
they're
it's
all
technically good,
technically
good.
Produced
yeah.
in a lot of ways. But like, how important is that to people nowadays? And I think the surprising answer is like, it's not that important.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely not that important. Like, there needs to be a minimum standard of like, I need to be able to hear the audio and it needs to not hurt my ears.
Now, I got to admit, some of Shane's videos were a little bit like, oh, I wish they had of like used better equipment or whatever. But like, that might have like,
there's a couple parts that was hard to hear the audio.
Yeah.
But I still think that the like story of whatever I'm watching is more important. Yeah. Like, it needs to be engaging, and that's more important than having like the best audio or the best video.
Yeah. Like, is the content good?
Yeah.
And is it something that I want to watch? And I think that for, I don't know, us and a lot of people, I guess, I just don't find scripted TV, which is what Netflix basically is, to be as interesting as kind of a lot of the unscripted things.
Yeah, I mean, there's YouTube. A couple exceptions. Like, I mean, the only current one I can think of is Stranger Things. That's the only scripted show, really, that we watch. And we're, like, still not even done with the season. Like, four episodes in. So behind. And, like, you know, we liked Game of Thrones until the end.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Season 8.
There is some scripted stuff, but I feel like it's just maybe not what we watch. But we're not the best examples because we watch maybe 20 minutes of a show a day.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah.
So, this is not very much.
Not very much, yeah.
But it's interesting. So, going back to, like, quality versus quantity for our own channel or other YouTubers, it's something that we thought about a lot, especially like with October being so crazy. You know, you can't help but brainstorm like, well, would it be better if we only did one video a month? But then it needs to be a much like a bigger project to justify only doing one a month. And then there's so much pressure, so much pressure on it performing super well. And yeah, you'd have a lot more time to make it really good, but there's so much pressure. And it's like, if you don't have a sponsor on that video, that's 1/12 of your sponsor income for the year out the door if something doesn't work out. Whereas like for us, if a sponsor doesn't work out, like it's still annoying, but it's not it's such a huge chunk of our
income. Because we have a lot of opportunities.
And same with if a video flops, it's like, it sucks, but you know, it's only one of the like 3 to 4 videos we're doing that month. And so it's hard to know what's more appealing. And then there's people who upload every day or like 5 times a week. Mm. And that seems super stressful. But at the same time, there is a little bit of pressure relief in that way. Because, you know, if you're just looking at how many views you get per week, you know, if you want, just to make it easy, if you want 500K views per week, then you either have to do one 500K view worthy video, or you could do 5 100K view worthy videos.
Yeah.
And in some ways that makes those videos, that puts a little bit less pressure on them, even though it requires more time from you. And it's just interesting because there's a give and take. And we have friends that post once a month and we have friends that post 5 times a week. And I think
they're equally stressed.
They're just as stressed as we are. We're all equally stressed. Yeah.
So but it is something that we thought of. Like, you know, we could produce more casual videos in between these big ones.
Or, like, break the big ones into more parts.
Yeah,
but you know, that like the
doesn't sit right with me, really.
Well, I don't really want that either, but I'm just using it as an example. So, like, Alex Steele, for example, his, you know, he might make a sword and it might be 20 parts.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how he's able to do bigger projects but still upload.
Or there's another thing that we could do. We could hire an editor. And, you know, you, I think, can take our videos to a much better place. But, you know, when we've, like, you know, like for the gaming channel, it's worked out well because that style has developed on its own. But, like, when we bring on an editor, we lose some of Caitlin's style that she's been, like, putting into this. So if we brought on an editor, we'd lose a little bit of what makes our videos, which would be painful to us. And I think that, not that it'd make our videos necessarily worse, but it'd make them different from our current trajectory, which would be kind of jarring to our audience. But that would save us a ton of time. And we could, you know, get a lot of time in our life back, or we could make more videos if we had someone else editing them. But the quality, I think, not in terms of like objective, but like relative to what we're doing now, would drop in our audience's eyes, and what would the value of that be?
Well, I think, you know, well, I mean, yeah, I think the hard thing is like we are in the edit. I constantly experiment with stuff and we tweak things, and, you know, because I edit the videos as we go, not just in one big chunk at the end, it allows us to change course mid video.
Yeah, that's invaluable. And, yeah.
Yeah. And that's super valuable. And I feel like we'd be more if we, so, okay. So let me back up. So last October, yeah, so about a year ago,
yeah,
we started experimenting, and we've mentioned this before, but we tried hiring out the edit of a few videos, and, you know, it worked well. He was a solid editor. But what we realized is we wanted to, it was really hard to communicate when we wanted to do something different than what we had done before, because there wasn't like a model to follow, and we were feeling the need to keep on tweaking our style. And it was just really, you know, it's hard enough just to communicate what you want to a person, but then when you kind of want to change things, but you don't know how you want to change them yet, that's like impossible to communicate. Like,
make that different and better.
Or just like make it feel kind of more like this vibe. Like, yeah. What does that mean? So I wonder if we had kept on hiring out the editing, how our videos would differ now.
Oh, wow.
Like, would they be a lot more similar to how they were a year ago? Would mm-hmm. we kind of, because we, if you look back, you know, we did, there were definitely some similarities, but we've also changed a decent amount. And it's interesting to think about if the editing style would have evolved. And likewise, if we decided today, like, okay, we're going to hire out all of our videos, does that mean the videos would stay as they are now? You know, and what unknown trajectory are we missing out on?
Yeah.
So it's really hard to hire out editing.
But I think in terms of like the quality versus quantity thing, I think that we'll eventually hit a medium.
Yeah. I feel like we're getting close, and it's hard because you always compare yourself to other people. And so like some channels we watch put out videos every week, but then, you know, so then you think like, well, I should put out a video every single week. But then you realize that either those channels have a team of 5 people, or they're channels where the videos take 48 hours max to film and edit the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's not the case for us.
It's interesting that like the week was just defined, like 7 days was defined as like the arbitrary period in which you need to put out videos. Like every 7 days you need to put out a video. And that's like only because the week structure is already in place.
It's just how it's like, easy for people to remember, like, oh, Friday mornings.
Yep. That's when they put out their videos. But it's so interesting that like what if our weeks had have been 9 days long?
Oh, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
Let's change the calendar.
Yeah.
And then we can upload weekly. If we have like a 9 or 10 day week, we're good.
Isn't that just so interesting though? That like, it's just like everyone decided like a long time ago that there's going to be 7 days in a week. And because that's what we've them, structured our, that's what we've structured our, our lives around, just some arbitrary time of every 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like, We're trying to put a little bit less pressure on ourselves, because making things does take a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of our projects take several days to film and several days to edit. So if it takes us, you know, 6 days or less, that, I mean, it's rare that it takes us like under 5 or 6 full days.
Yeah.
When you count everything that has to be done.
Because even when you think you're done, then you have the thumbnail, then you have the metadata, sponsor approvals.
Then you got to go in and tweak audio and color and this and that. And
it always takes us longer than we think.
Yeah. So I don't really see us ever upping the quantity.
Mm-mm. And I know that, like, you know, we've gotten requests from our audience before, like, I wish you guys would make more videos, but you really don't want us to make more videos.
Yeah, because not to say they wouldn't be good, but they would have to be different. They'd have to, like, and it's not just like 3 videos a week or 3 videos a month would be like they are now, and then there'd be one bonus one. Adding that one bonus one takes away time from all the other 3. It's not just like additional content, and it's okay if that additional one, you know, is only watched by some people. because it would bring down the time we have to put towards everything.
And also, I think that it's interesting, just even within the podcast, we've gotten a few comments like, some people really love the games, some people don't like the games, but some people have said like, you know, the games take away time from the
topics,
but those are just an addition. When we're done with the topic, we're done with the topic. We like have run out of things to say.
Yeah.
Because generally we just talk about things until we're done, then we move on.
Yeah.
But I think that in general we're just realizing that things take the time they take, and we're just becoming okay with that. And also, like, even the podcast, it's like we're trying to like not make it a certain time. So even if today's podcast is a little bit shorter, which we're expecting it to probably be, that's okay.
Yeah, but I guess, so you're saying that to tie it back to how, you know, with the podcast and using the podcast in games, for example, if we add on a game, it's not taking away time from the rest of the podcast. But like, if we add an extra video every month, that does take away
time it does.
From the other videos. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a lot.
I wonder what we would do differently if we were only uploading once a month.
I think that I would really like to spend some time designing really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, or trying new things that have never been done before. Put a lot of time and research and experimentation and like, you know, find a way to like bring in the experimentation into the build video and like experiment with new video types and everything. I think it's just like, I think that right now we just need to go with more known things. You know what I mean?
See, I think actually, if we were doing only one a month, we would not be able to experiment with video types as much.
Oh.
Because, like I said, you only have one chance a month. So I feel like you'd have to tone down your experimentation. Like in 1 month, if we're doing three videos and we want to try something new, we can add 10% of the new thing in one video, and then another 10%, and then another 10%.
I guess something like crazy, like not messing with the format of the video, but like, you know, putting a lot of time into the design, like the 3D modeling, making it like, you know, adding more clever things, or like putting more time into like what the thumbnail will be to get more clicks, you know, like working on like a concept that is like, what? I need to click on that. I need to see that, you know, so we put more time into researching the concept to make it very clickable and viral worthy and stuff like that. Then we'd put a lot of time into the design. I mean, not that we don't put time into any of that stuff. We put a lot of time, but it is limited, you know,
which is, so that's interesting because I think sometimes, that extra brainstorming time might lead to a like bigger project or a bigger build or, you know, something that takes longer to film and make. Yeah. And sometimes it might not, like, for example, the, just going back to the Katkus, that video did take a little bit longer due to like dry time, but it wasn't like ridiculously longer to film than a normal project. And the project wasn't like physically huger than something else.
But like taking that concept, one thing we could have done is we could have built one Katkus and then, taken it and shown it to other cats, like taken it to a shelter. And like, you know, seeing how other cats react, we can like take concepts and take them farther. And maybe that
3D print spikes. That's that one thing I wanted to do, spikes for the cactus.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We could have
like taken it like even farther, you know, taken concepts farther and like bring them out into the world and stuff like that.
But it's interesting. I guess I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, because what I was getting at is sometimes we might spend more time brainstorming, but the project itself wouldn't end up being something that like from the outside feels like it justifies a month of wait time. Because sometimes like the brainstorming is in the idea, but that doesn't mean that the project takes longer to build. And I think especially when your videos are like making something, if you do something that seems like, oh, well they could just make that in 2 days.
Yeah.
Then people might get like annoyed that you're not posting more. I don't know. It's something that I worry about.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting because like making something adds more time to the process, but at the same time, you know, it does define a period of time also.
What do you mean?
So it's like if someone is making a film and, you know, there's like story and other things, like if people are making a more ambitious YouTube upload, not around making something. You don't know how long it took them to like bring all these people together, coordinate all those things, you know, like there's so many more unknowns that like you could assume, oh, well that just took a long time, or, you know, maybe it took them a long time to build that set or put together the thing or whatever it is. But for building something, it kind of like building something, we kind of define the days, we define the timeline of it. And like in the build video, it kind of outlines how long it took you to make it.
You see how many outfit changes there were, and that's how long, that's how many days.
Or like, you know, we do it through the one sleep later. Not everyone does that. But at the same time, people have an idea in their head of how long it takes to make something. What they don't see is all the time after the editing and the filming and all
the time before, like designing stuff.
But like with a piece of content that's not around making something, that time is indefinite, you know?
Sort of. I mean, I think it depends on what it is.
It does depend on what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't really know where I was going with this. Should we move on to Thing of the Week?
Yeah, sure.
All right. My Thing of the Week is polypropylene!
Yes, this will make sense when you see Friday's video.
Basically, we love working with resin, and the one downside of working with resin is that it's very adhesive. It loves to stick to things. You know one thing that it doesn't like sticking to?
Polypropylene!
Yay! So you can get sheets of it, and you can use it in resin projects, and it has a very nice, clean release. And it is going to be so useful going forward in the future. Like, I knew that polypropylene and resin work well together in that they don't stick together because of chemicals and, I don't know, things.
Science.
But like knowing that and having used it now, you'll see how we use it later this week. But it's just like my mind is going in lots of different directions, and it opens up lots of different possibilities for the future, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is because we've tried various things on our videos that don't stick to resin. So we've tried like lining something with Tyvek tape that technically works. We've tried parchment paper that works, but it got wobbly and warpy.
Even making our own silicone molds has its advantages and disadvantages.
That works, but silicone takes a super long time to cure.
And silicone takes the finish of whatever the master model is.
Exactly.
So if the master model isn't perfectly shiny, you don't get something perfectly shiny.
Same with parchment paper, and same with Tyvek tape. You know, there's going to be seams.
Yeah.
So whatever you have, whatever that surface is that you're putting the resin on, it's going to take the surface finish of it. And polishing resin to get it to its full glass shine is like the worst thing.
The worst.
We dislike it so much. It takes so long to get it perfect, and like the dust is nasty and all sorts of stuff. And polypropylene is glass smooth, so it gives you that glass-like finish without you having to polish it.
Now, you have to use like clean, unscratched polypropylene, which is sometimes hard.
I buy like a new sheet every time. I don't care.
And the supplier that we bought ours from didn't come with a protective sheet, so there were some like tiny, very small little scratches and stuff. But still, the result we got out is amazing.
It's so good.
So I definitely see us like ordering more of that in the future, working with it more, and I'm just excited. That's my thing, and it's this week, so that's my thing of the week.
good justification.
Good words.
Okay, so mine is actually an Instagram account, and it's one we've been following a bit, and so the account is Those Nerdy Design Sketches, and when did we first find her? Was it when she did the t-shirt for Tested? I think we knew of her before that.
I think we just found it just because it was on the recommended.
It was on like our recommended page, but she does nerdy sketches of, so she'll do little sketches of things from like
movies and TV shows.
Video games, and she does little call outs almost as if it's like a concept drawing. So she'll have like Ash Ketchum's hat, and then like a little call out with like a fact about it, or she'll have the hallway from The Shining with little call outs and facts. And
it's just like a satisfying picture to look at.
Yeah, it's like really satisfying art. They're really well done, and it's what I like to do is like I like looking at it before I read what it is to see if I can like recognize what it's from. You know,
so most of the times I'm like, oh yeah, I know For sure.
I know, but sometimes you don't know. Oh. Sometimes I don't know. It's like a movie I haven't seen or something. Yeah. Nice. So I like watching and, or I like looking at them and seeing if I can guess. But just if you like movies and video games and stuff like that, you should follow those nerdy design sketches on Instagram.
Oh, you know what's sad?
Huh?
We almost made this episode 42 minutes long.
Oh. Should we talk? Episode 42? Let's talk for 3 more minutes.
Okay. Bonus topic time.
Bonus topic. Okay. Weather.
Let's do a preview of scary stories for next podcast.
Do you have one?
You know what's interesting? I don't have that many scary stories that have happened to me. I know you've had some and your parents have had some.
And I've had friends that have had some at my house.
Oh, okay. I'll tell one kind of scary story that's not actually that scary.
Okay.
So we both lived in San Antonio in our past. And in San Antonio, there's a train track. And if you go to the train track and first you dust the back of the car with flour.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put the car in park. And then the car just moves forward on its own.
Over the train track.
And then when you get out at the end, you see the handprints of the ghosts that pushed you.
Did you do that?
I didn't do that. I wanted to.
I did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
Did it work?
We did roll, but we didn't have handprints.
Oh, want me to explain why?
Yeah.
Okay. So the place, the location that it's at, it looks completely flat, but there's actually a small slope.
It's interesting. And I figured it was something like that.
And that's why the car rolls. But the reason why handprints show up on the back of the car is because human hands are greasy.
Oh.
So normally when you're like, you know, like if you have a clean car and you touch the back of your car, you leave a greasy handprint. And then when you dust it with flour,
the grease
and you
kind move of soaks forward, in.
Yeah, the grease holds on to the flour and you're left with ghostly handprints.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it's your own handprints.
I think the reason that we didn't see it on ours as we only dusted like the bumper, which isn't a thing you touch.
Oh yeah, it has to be the top of
like the back of the car.
The back of the car.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
That's interesting. Okay, preview for spoopy scary time next.
Yes. Time. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us during today's podcast. If you share this with a friend or a family member,
then nothing scary will happen to you this Halloween.
Yes.
Wait, that sounds like a threat.
Bye!
Bye!